pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
This is a verse-by-verse study of the greatest book that was ever written. In order to understand this book, you need to be born again in the newness of life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If this has never happened to you, and you need to believe the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day. He was then seen by over 500 people. On behalf of our sponsor, who is the creator of the universe, we welcome you and thank you for coming. Welcome to the Book of Heaven.
Well, hello everybody, and thanks for joining us tonight. Sorry, a little chaotic here. Jim just got home, and we're just getting revved up here. Anyway, hello, Miss Katie.
Well, good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Been outside a good part of the day. It always cheers me up. No, about
awesome.
You.
You know, we've had great weather here today, too. It's been in the 60s.
Woo! Oh, I could use that right now. Yeah. I went up into the 90s today.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. We don't get that until, you know, July. Yeah. Hello, Matt.
Howdy. Howdy.
Matthias, or I don't know. What are you going by today?
Matthias.
Yes, it is.
Yep. 60, by the way, I don't know what it is, 65. 65 to 70 here.
That's what I want to know.
In Kentucky.
Yeah, it's actually a beautiful day here today.
Yeah. What was your weather like today, Duncan?
Well, I live about 15 minutes away from him. It was right about 64, maybe. Sunny outside, no wind. Pretty. This is like perfect outside working weather.
Yeah, really nice out.
Excellent.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies.
You almost just got in, you almost
I was going to say, just in time, Jim.
I'm going to a very interesting training session on how to build relationships.
Ooh.
And today we began talking about compelling conversations.
Ooh. Do tell.
And they're based on listening. I'm not good at that at all. Yeah. Anyhow, it's good for me to learn.
Well, I mean, better late than never.
Trained down here at the corner.
He's got a ways to go, man. We discussed this yesterday. Jim's gonna outlive like Enoch and Methuselah age, so he's in his youth.
It could happen.
Hey, didn't Milli Vanilli do a song like that called "Blame It on the Train"?
It's not bad.
I don't know, man. They probably forged it.
Yeah, probably. Stolen.
Yeah. Well, anyhow.
Good to see you, Jim.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
Are your socks attached?
I do have my. I have on a new pair today.
Oh, stripey.
Aren't they nice?
Well, I guess you haven't been that blessed today, then.
Well, I have others to be blessed with.
Mm. Or did you just have to put some on?
Well, I always wear socks. It's my feet like them.
Right. But usually when I ask you how you're doing, you're saying your socks are blessed
clean. Well, I am blessed right now. They're blessing me today.
Amen. Today he's blessed by his socks.
Yes, and I had a delight. They also served a delightful lunch at this thing.
Oh, nice. That's why you win, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's why.
And I'd be sold.
Actually, it's very interesting. It's called The Exchange, and he talks about and he got that name for it, thinking in terms of us exchanging our sins for Christ's righteousness.
Hmm. Well, that's. Sounds pretty cool.
Oh, it is cool.
You know, Duncan had a gentleman on last night, it was Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
On the official Godcast, had a guy on last night giving his testimony. He was Kevin, right?
Yeah, Kevin.
Wow, look at me remembering names and stuff. he was really awesome. He blew me away.
I was taking notes.
Yeah, he reminded me a lot of you just because of how full of joy he was. And he may actually come on with us one of these days.
Well, you know, we might be able to get this gentleman that's doing this. So I think his testimony would be I think it'd be something. I'll talk to him and ask him if he'd be open to doing that.
Okay. We'll see what.
He's on a big type schedule, of course. He travels the world.
Right. Well, that must really be rough.
Well, that gets old. You know, that constant travel.
Mm-hmm. I did it once for 6 months.
He's fortunate that his wife is with him 100% of the time.
That's nice.
She's a part of the whole thing.
Well, that's very good.
Wow. And she doesn't have boofy hair.
That's probably also very good. Saves on all that brushing time every morning.
Yeah. I guess they don't all have boofy hair, but, you know, I'm the old Jim, whatever his name was.
Well, they're not allowed to use Aquanet anymore. So.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, 80s and ozone depletion.
Sometimes I miss that, though.
Yeah, it's one thing that's not missed. Well, should we probably pray, huh?
Mm-hmm. Really? This is a show where we pray?
Aren't they all?
Let's use the exercise of the First Amendment and have some prayer.
Let's do that. I like your thinking.
Well, I'm going to take it today because I'm feeling it. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for all the blessings, the seen and unseen, and the just everything in this world that has any beauty at all is all thanks to you. And that includes the hearts of men, nature. I got to spend some time with the Vineyard family this morning, and I took them down to the river, the Deschutes River, and got to sit out in the sunshine and watch the mist on the water. And there was geese with goslings, and hawk flew through, and there were robins and ducks and wood ducks, and I believe a river otter swam through. It was just beautiful, and there was so much life and activity, beautiful sounds, and it was all natural. And it just reminded me of just how perfect and beautiful God's creation is, even in a fallen world. It's just magnificent. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for this, the things you put in our life, and the things you show us, and the way you remind us. It's always just so wonderful, and I just so appreciate you. So just let us enjoy this time together. We haven't really picked out a topic. So just be with us and guide the conversation, give us some laughs, and just let us enjoy your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, you know, Jim, I have news.
Go ahead.
So yesterday,
somebody's pregnant?
No.
That's news.
It's not quite that good news. I was fired yesterday.
By your, do you mean the place where you work?
The place where I work.
Well, how good news.
I know, right?
Or the place you don't work.
I get on with God.
Place you used to work.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know, and a lot of people think, oh my goodness, you know, he got fired, or I got fired. What am I going to do? How will this work? And you know what I felt as soon as he said that?
No.
Huge weight lifted off my shoulders.
I would think so. Now, did he say that was it an amicable firing? Was it where he?
No, I was being sassy.
Oh, so you were fired.
I was fired.
Once in a while, that happens.
I had a little fire lit under me yesterday, and I just wasn't taking any guff. And I got triggered, I guess you could say.
I never fired anybody, but I did ask a couple of people. I did say, if you feel that way, you ought to quit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm going to go in Monday and talk to my boss and collect my last paycheck, since he didn't present it to anyone.
Well, remember, you still love him.
Oh, yeah. No, I plan to go there with a heart full of love. And good. But the whole point of it, for me, when I felt that weight lift, was that, you know, even through my own stupidity or angst or anger, even I don't really feel angry when we had the issue. I just wasn't taking any crap. And but the point is, when I felt that weight lift, I knew it was the right thing. And it, you know, it was something I had wanted for quite some time. And, you know, I couldn't just quit.
God was helping you.
He was. He was helping me. And he really showed me. And, yes, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I just made my house payment, so that's good. I'm good for another month. But, you know, he's been blessing me. It's like I just broke my arm recently. It was 7 weeks ago yesterday. And, you know, that was an accident at work with a customer. That may very well turn into a blessing as well. I definitely don't feel like it was pretty miraculous what happened, actually. And I could have been hurt much worse in it, and it was very minor considering what it could have been. My point is, when we have these trials and we follow God, and we listen to the words that are written in the Bible, and we don't fear, and we put our trust in Him and our faith in Him, we will be blessed. And I'm not saying that everything is going to go smooth, but I'm starting a story here with you all. I'm putting this on the books, as it were, and it may get worse before it gets better. I have a lot to do. I have more hard conversations to have. I don't know if I'll be able to collect unemployment. Oregon is a unique state in that it is a at-will employment state, meaning like that an employer can fire you for any reason, and usually you can collect unemployment. Now, I was being
insubordinate.
What did you say, Doug?
Insubordinate?
Yes, I was being insubordinate. I was being a dumbass. That's biblical. I can say that.
They asked, wasn't dummy talk?
I was about to say, man, did this dumbass talk to you?
I was being a loud ass. I have a lot of respect and appreciation for my employer. He was a good man, and he treated me very well. And for a while now, and he knew this, that it was, I've had a foot out the door. I've wanted to serve God in some fashion. And I believe he won't contest me trying to collect unemployment.
I think he has called it a layoff.
Yeah, well, point being is if I can collect unemployment, that allows me to do all this work I have to do that's been waiting for me that I just haven't had the energy or time to do. You know, I work 10 hours a day. I got an hour-long commute. By the time I'm done with my day, I'm burnt out. And the weekends, I typically recover from Friday, which is super busy.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is a blessing, and I see it as such, and it feels as such, and I have been so much happier.
Your wife got a job?
She's got a job.
Let her support you.
Well, we're not exactly
I'm a practical individual.
We're not exactly tight right now, but
she might like you being dependent on her.
I don't think so.
Okay, well. Forget that.
we'll find out. But anyway, you know, I'm on the cusp of some really great change, I feel, and movement. And Duncan, you still have it?
Yeah, I want to carry on from what you're saying right here. Because we discussed this, you know, I recently kind of got put into a situation where I had to make a tough decision as well. And you said it, you know, God, you know, doors closes, but God opens a window or another door. And right now I've had this conversation with multiple different people that are, you know, just wondering, you know, what do I, you know, the difference between what I want to go forward and do and what God needs me to go forward and do. And right now it's real confusing because we're in very confusing, chaotic times, but I feel like God's removing us from one place to put him in his place because God needs the attention right now. And I know it's scary to wonder how you're going to pay your bills and all this other stuff. But that's one thing about the faith in our Lord Almighty is knowing that God's going to take care of us. You know, it's hard not to worry being, you know, a flesh puppet.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we walk by faith, not by sight. I think that holds true to a lot of situations.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot here real quick, J-Woo. So I'm taking this on me. Look, if you get into the situation where, you know, you were running low on funds or anything like that, we'll happily set something up for you. I'm saying that so that you don't have to, because I know me, I don't like people helping. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's hard for me to ask. So you don't have to ask. We're offering. So the moment you get into that situation, man, where things get real rough, let us know, and we'll definitely do something. And like I said, you're a lot like I am, and man, I will starve for a week before I ask for help, you know. So sometimes it just I'm going to offer ahead of time. That way you don't have to think about it.
I appreciate that. And you know, this again is one of God's lessons that we got to learn, and that is to be gracious recipients of help when we need it, and to allow others the pleasure of giving. And, you know, and as of right now, you know, things look pretty destitute, but, you know, I'll find out if I get my unemployment or not. I'll find out if I'm going to get any kind of a settlement for my broken arm.
See, and those are all well-timed too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
See,
and that's the thing. And when I broke my arm, maybe it was a slight fracture. And I mean, I got pretty well run over. Launched. Thankfully, I didn't get run over. That was a big concern in the incident. But you know, it happened at work and it was a third party. And I mean, all this stuff lined up very well. And I can only attribute that to God and his miraculous ability to create situations that could be considered, you know, oh no, you know, this is terrible. But when you believe and you trust and you have faith, it's not. And it becomes a lesson and an exercise in utilizing your faith and your trust in him. And I will just pray for you and I both and all here listening and watching that God provide the resources that you need. And it's not necessarily money or any of that. It could be help putting the roof on my house or building the garden or any of these things that need to be done that I have to do. It doesn't have to be money. It could, you know, it could be someone's time or the materials to do something or any of that. So we just pray that any in need right now receive what they need to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
And we'll leave the rest up to God. And I just truly trust and believe that this is going to be turned into something miraculous. So follow my story, folks.
Well, listen, since we're on the air, I'll just give you my advice. You need to go out and start working for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And put some of those, I'm sure you can allot some time for some of you for yourself. You need allot some time for his work. Mm-hmm. You've been wanting to do his work now for a long time. You talked about it. Mm-hmm. Now go do it. And then he'll pay you. Nobody works for nothing for the Lord.
Right.
What do you think? Look at all these people that work for him as a full-time career. Where do you think their money comes from? It comes in strange ways. You know, it comes in an envelope in the mail with you. You don't even know where it came from. And this is your chance.
Right. Well, I do have things to get done at home.
Hurry through them and get on with the Lord.
Amen. And that's the plan, is to get everything done. I haven't been able to do it because I've been working, but now all of a sudden I will have time. And this is exciting, and I'm excited to see where God leads this. But I ultimately believe that I'm to end up in Kentucky, at least for a time. And I don't know, I'm feeling like it's going to be around the 4th of July.
Yeah, I had a young man working for me. This is when I had a lot of salespeople, and he wasn't doing very well. And he came in one day, and he said, I need a miracle. He was a Christian kid.
Mm.
I need a miracle. I'd like you to pray with me. I don't have the money for my mortgage payment. And I said, well, I'll sure pray that God would do a miracle for you. But I said, you need to realize that God may be using you to judge the mortgage company. Maybe they need to take a hit on your mortgage, learn a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, we prayed, and of course, nothing happened. And the next month, we prayed. So I said, you know, I said, the honorable thing to do is go and tell them that you can't pay them. Don't hide from them. I'm saying, look, tell them you're praying and trying to get the money. So this went on for 4 months.
Mm.
Every month we prayed, nothing happened. And he was a very discouraged and looked like the very end of the time. And bingo, he wanted to go to a seminary down in San Francisco. He had a family. And bingo, he got accepted at the seminary. They sent him the money to come down there. They arranged a place for him. He sold his house in 4 days. They paid the mortgage payments. The reason God never sent the mortgage payments is because he never needed them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He couldn't see that from 4 months before.
Right.
But the Lord is just there working away.
That's what he does. And I've always said he kind of comes at us like a ninja, you know? You don't
always.
I think troubles come at you like a funnel. You get the big end first.
Mm. Yeah. You know, God always knows what's ahead. You know, we don't, you know, and think about this, like we're in a volatile economic times, you know, with the banks, central banks eventually inevitably going to go, we may wake up tomorrow and our dollar's not worth anything. You know what I'm saying? So what's the point of working anyways? Like I said, it's God knows where he needs you to work. So, and like I said, you know, Lord knows. Lord's the only one that knows what's going to happen between now and November.
Right.
Or tonight.
Or tonight. Yeah. You're right. Or tonight.
We could all be raptured right here in front of one.
Wouldn't that be great if you were looking at an empty screen? Or would it be really sad if, like, three of those screens were empty and I'm still sitting here and be like,
oh. Well, of course,
I worry about that. I'm like, if everybody else goes and I'm sitting here.
Listen, I go before Jay a little. Lewis, I'm a Warren.
Yeah. I always say, whenever Jeff texts me, I'm like, okay, rapture hasn't happened yet.
Well, according to Jim, it's alphabetical.
Oh, okay, good. So D falls, at least I'll be one of the first four letters.
There you go. If you're still here when Jim goes, you got trouble.
I know.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. If I go first, anyhow.
And I feel terrible for the person with the last name Zebra. Right. Or Zed.
Zebra. What is the last name Zebra?
I don't know. I was literally trying to think of a name that ended with Z, and I'm like, I'm just going to go with Zebra.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Zimmerman.
There we go. Zimmerman. There we go. See, why don't I just go to Kitty? She's right there, man.
She's got a bag of tricks.
So yes.
She's always available.
It's called a phenomenal wit.
I learned that from Felix, you know. Felix. Yeah. He had a magic bag.
Jim, you got any scripture that might go along with our topic?
I got some scripture. Put ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you.
There it is.
Yeah. That's a good scripture for you. Well, let's have a little fun. Let's do a little look at the creation.
Oh, let's do that. And Duncan, you know, maybe you and I just end up going into business together.
Hey, man.
That's right.
I'm okay with that. We'll come up with something.
Swords and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we'll call it. Swords and stuff.
Yeah, sword.
What kind of stuff? I don't know. We cook. We clean.
Go to Christian swords and stuff.
Hey, you could do a food truck or I don't know. Just dude, anything.
I've thought about 100 different restaurants that I would like to open up right here because there are none. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like a barbecue restaurant. That'd be a wonderful start.
Yeah, we need barbecue around here.
Don't get it, man.
I think it could do good.
It's like when in doubt, just open up another pizza restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, they only have the chain restaurant there. Wouldn't be bad to have like, you know, more family run authentic.
Oh, no, 100%. I mean, little cafe. I mean, okay. How about a coffee place? That'd be a great one, too.
Yeah. Duncan's Donuts.
Hey,
Duncan's Donuts.
Well, you could, oh man, y'all get me excited. I was thinking you could have like little coffee tables and things set up and have Bibles at each one.
Oh, no, dude. I would, I mean, anything I did would incorporate scripture, Bibles, and some stuff like that, guaranteed.
That is so cool.
You could put little prayer cards on all the tables.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Free Bibles. They can just leave with it.
Little tracks that just to hand out to people. Yep. I will call it Cuckoo Cachoos, and it would be like Scottish Coo theme.
There you go.
Hey, I've seen some really pretty Coo. That sounds weird saying. I've seen some pretty Coo art.
Yeah, so have I.
A restaurant on a corner.
Jim's got a restaurant.
It's on a corner in a downtown location. It's just a very small place. It has windows to look out on the street. It's got about 17 to 19 stools sitting in front of a counter, and you're behind the counter and you serve breakfast and lunch. You don't hire any help. There's one girl that helps you, and she just keeps the tips for her pay. You know, I get involved in payroll. And you go in there at 7 o'clock in the morning and you'd be surprised. And you serve the best breakfast in town. Pretty soon the place is full. There's a line outside. You take care of everybody. 2 o'clock, you go home.
Nice.
What's the best breakfast in town?
The best breakfast in town is eggs prepared the way they want them with just the finest bacon you can buy. Mm. Maybe you can try to beat or the original pancake house for bacon.
Well, you know, they have
hot cakes and that's it.
They have the Amish there.
Yeah, we got Amish bacon here.
So we can probably get some very good quality bacon out of those.
Well, you want bacon, if you want bacon and you want with lots of meat, not a lot of fat, and you want to cook it to where it's fairly crisp. And you don't want to, and remember, you don't want a lot of people, and it becomes a kind of like a, well, you know why they all go to Starbucks is for fellowship. You'll end up with a bunch of cronies that are in there every morning, and you don't care. You just want there. You can put gospel literature around, whatever you want to do in that way, and make a living. You don't have to make a fortune.
I was going to say, this might be a good area to do it, too, because I feel like there's a lot of believers, a lot of people that would want to come into that kind of environment, you know, just to take it easy, maybe read a little scripture before they go get out and start their day, or, you know, might be where they come to eat for lunch. You never know.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was, this is a bad taste for a name, but I used to live on a place called Amelia Island in Northeast Florida, and I was going to call have a coffee shop, and I was going to call it Sense Amelia. And they didn't like that name at all because of the whole, you know, marijuana reference.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. As far as the name of your place, it's just going to be called Jay Woo's Cafe, you know?
Jay Woo's Fried Chicken and Waffles.
We don't want to get this complicated, and we want
Jay Woo's Brew.
Very amateurish like, but the food is going to be delicious.
Well, and I think that's the key. There used to be this place I'd go to every weekend, like on Saturday morning, I'd meet some friends there and we'd have breakfast. It's called Morning Thunder Cafe. They had really good coffee. They had a limited breakfast menu, but that's all they did is breakfast. Breakfast every day.
Okay.
But their breakfasts were great. And they were very popular, and there was always people waiting to be fed. And they make their killing first thing in the morning. And I think they were only open 2 or 3 days a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I think. And they just made a killing on just breakfast 3 days a week.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think we could get away with Dunkin's Donuts.
Yeah. I'd have to spell it like my last, you know, like it's spelled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a little apostrophe S, and I think we're clear.
Exactly. And then I'm still going to use the tagline America runs on Dunkin', because, man, they do a stomp.
Well, if you're going to have donuts, don't have in your
style. I like it.
We only have maple bars.
Mm. Only maple bars.
Yes. You don't like maple bars? Go down the street. I only got 18 stools.
Now, do you put bacon on those maple bars?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Anyhow, the point is this. So many businesses fail because they try to take care of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to take care of a few people, but I'm going to treat them really good.
That's right. Well, and that's just it. I mean, do what you do and do it really well. If you have a limited menu, just make sure it's spot on.
There's a guy in Portland, one of the finest chefs there ever was, and he had one restaurant that was just tremendous. And then he started thought he could expand. He started developing branches and franchise, and he failed because he was just good at doing one restaurant. There's a different set of skills for running a whole bunch of restaurants.
Yeah.
Well, and plus, you know,
They fixed the irrigation in my garden.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't, you know, we don't, you know, we're not looking to get rich. We just need to make ends meet, serve a community,
get the word out. Your extra money is going to go to missionaries,
Hand selected. Missionary.
Yeah,
of course.
You better get walking, man. Walk across this country. That's the discipleship right there.
Well, and that's interesting because you bring that up, because one of my thoughts as far as living there in Kentucky, Flemingsburg in particular, was that there'd be a community built there where you recharge. You know, the spirit is heavy. The love is deep. You go there, you get your spirit levels topped up, to spilling over, and then you go out and you serve and you spread the word.
Yeah.
Then when you're exhausted, you come home, relax, get recharged, love on some folk, and then head back out again.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know.
Do it old school, man. Like I said, even an EMP ain't going to stop you from doing that.
Right. You can go on foot.
Yep.
Need much.
Or a donkey. Just saying. Just throwing that one out there. I mean, you could use a horse, but I mean, you know, if you're going all humble, donkey.
Right. Donkey.
Well, it's donkey. You know, donkey's handy to carry your bedding.
Yes.
And your food.
And his food.
You're optimistic.
This is, yeah, I'm gonna eat.
No, you're gonna pray and fast.
You know, God put everything we need all around us.
Oh, of course.
So it's just a matter.
And He gave it food to us for our pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna be learning about that when we study Colossians.
And you're right. I mean, fasting is good too. There's nothing wrong with a good fast.
Yeah, it's except for the no school. Food part, but you know, you get used to it.
Well, if you're running a restaurant, don't do fasting at the restaurant.
No. Oh, no.
Have some bacon and eggs for yourself. Mm. And cook the eggs in butter.
Try our fasting special.
But that's just it. I mean, if you had homegrown, good quality eggs from a local source.
Okay.
Butter made from a local source.
Yeah.
Bacon cut from a local source.
You remember what the pig said to the chicken, don't you?
No, what did the pig say to the chicken?
He said, for you, it's a temporary inconvenience. For me, it's a major undertaking. You got it? Mm-mm. Eggs, the chicken don't die. Bacon, the guy dies.
Gotcha. I get it now. Sorry. I mentioned I was fired yesterday.
No, you ain't got fired. We're using your hand.
But then, you know, I don't. Do they grow coffee there in Kentucky?
You can, but it takes a lot of space.
Right.
That's the thing about coffee, man, is if you're even to make enough for yourself, you almost have to have a full garden.
Right. Well, then we'll just have to source the coffee elsewhere.
Oh, man. But no. Yeah. And don't think we're a second, man. I mean, I would be willing to buy property just for coffee.
Right.
Like, oh, you've got, what's that acre for? Coffee.
They have good pigs there.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, and there would be beef too. You know, it wouldn't be that hard to.
You might consider having ham and eggs. Bunsen.
Heck, if you have your own farm. And produce all that stuff yourself.
Well, if you got a farm, you don't have to have a restaurant.
Right. But if I'm serving the community.
Well, maybe you want a restaurant too. Maybe you want to be a completely integrated farm from the dirt all the way to the mountain.
Yeah. And you could put the restaurant right there on your property.
Well, I know of a place like that down in the valley. Can't remember the name of it, but I know how to get there.
Well, let's go. When are we going to Cowboy Dinner Tree again?
Oh, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready to make a trip to Cowboy Dinner Tree.
You know what? I got free time now.
I know you
have. I can't afford dinner, but I got free time.
We'll have to go out and shoot. I was going out shooting one day this week. Maybe you can make it.
Yeah, let's do it. I got ammo. For those of you who don't know, which is probably everybody, here nearby, it's about an hour's drive from here. It's out kind of in the middle of nowhere. Very rustic. They don't have, I don't even know if they have running water there, do they? They may have running water. I know they
I don't have. Know. All I, yeah, they do. They got it in. They got it. I don't think they get it. This does sound dumb. I started to say they got it in the toilet. But of course, I don't think that's where they get it for the water.
Let's hope it's at least the back of the toilet.
But remember, it's an old shack that was never finished.
Yep.
And at one time, it was literally the cowboys in that part of the area came there and had their lunch under this tree. It's on today. It's called the Cowboy Dinner Tree.
And
it's exactly 71 miles from this house.
Mm.
Oh. And it's four. And that's all desert out there. There's not people, but very low, very, very unpopulated area.
It's the high desert, just so you all know. Probably, what do you think the elevation is there?
Well, it's 4,000 here. It's probably about 4,500 out there.
Okay. And the cool thing about it is well, like we were talking about, they have two entrees. You could get steak, which is that's a big steak.
Well, the steak is about the size of a small roast. It's the sirloin. I mean, it's the what we call a backstrap on a deer. It's that eye and the same as the eye in a pork chop. It's the eye in the spine. That muscle's never used, so it's real tender.
Right.
They only get 9 of those per cow. There's a cow which has got, you know, 400 pounds of meat. There'll only be 9 of those steaks.
And we're talking pound. It's more than a pound of beef.
Oh, it's 3 pounds.
Yeah. And then, or you have a whole chicken.
I go chip for the chicken myself.
Yeah, I can't avoid the steak.
Does the lack of oxygen at that altitude make the food taste better?
I never thought about that, but it's possible. I think the food tastes better because of the color of it, because of the uniqueness of the place.
And it is locally grown, as far as I understand, all the meat. But anyway, you get, what is it, 4 courses? So they start with a salad. Yeah. They have really good, I mean, you have 2 options for drinks. It's lemonade or water. And, I mean, you don't have a lot of options, but everything that they offer is really good. So you get a salad. You get homemade red dinner rolls.
Yeah, the dinner rolls.
You get homemade beans.
Yeah, you got a red beans.
Yeah, or pintos, right?
Yep. I don't know. Anyhow, they're good beans.
They're good, yeah.
And it's kind of a little soup. They put a big bowl of it on the table. Mm-hmm. You dip out what you want.
It's all served family style. And then you get your main course.
With the bacon, you get a bagel, a baked potato,
and your entree.
Or a piece, or a whole chicken, or a big steak.
You're all hungry now, aren't you? And then
you get some dessert items.
Earlier, I was saying, I want a smoothie for dinner.
I'm going to have to go get something. I'll be right back.
Steak.
Yeah, totally.
They're seasonal because it is snowed in the winter, and they don't. I mean, it's a very
rudimentary structure. Well, they're open for 3 days in the winter. They're open on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Are they?
You can call them now. They will that in June 1st. They'll start going a whole week at a time.
Mm.
But you have to call ahead. There's no, and they only have 3 flights: 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 8 o'clock.
Right, and they see what, about 40 people, 50 people.
Yeah, that's probably about all.
And they're always. Wow. And there's always people who will go there hoping someone didn't make it.
Yeah, we had a place. Kitty may know. It's called the Dillard House. It's in Dillard, Georgia. And it's kind of, you know, right by North Carolina, but it's very similar to that where, you know, they only have the 3 serving times. It's booked out. So people literally are there just waiting, just hoping that someone didn't show up so they can get in, but it's all family style, sit at the same table.
Here we have a barbecue place too. It's down near Green Cove Springs and it's called Woodpeckers. And you got to get there just in time because they have what they prepared that day. That's all they're going to serve. And once they've served all of it, they shut down. So on a busy day, they may be shut down by noon. I think they open at 10.
You probably don't remember the old crap.
Shut down by noon.
It was a fish place. And it was like that. They had a lineup outside all day long. Mm.
Yeah, well, no reservations, but you can call ahead to order something and go pick it up.
Right.
But they even write on the wall, like they make this really good cobbler, and they'll write on the wall how many servings are left. And so, say you have 4 people that wanted a cobbler and they only have 2 left. Well, you can buy the last 2, but, you know, you have to share it.
And then you can sell it outside for twice the amount. Mm-hmm.
Double money, right?
And there it is, you know, and we're talking about food, and you mentioned that food brings people together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you throw a little Jesus in the mix, and you get a pretty good recipe for sort of
Jesus liked to eat.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Oh, and we never did get to what you were going to read there, did we?
Well, when you're ready, we're going to. If you want to do it, you don't have to do this, but if you want to, I got some interesting
about creation. You know how we'll go just down a rabbit
trail. Well, let's start this trail and you can go crazy.
Okay.
first of all, we're going to talk about teaching of creation. And first of all, we're going to see that God created because he wanted to. And so my dear Bible reader is going to read Ephesians 1:11.
Ephesians 1:11. Sorry, cut you off guard, Miss Kitty.
It's all right. We can wait for it. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. No, it's all good. And it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
So God created all things of his own free will. Read Revelations 4:11.
Revelations 4:11. Oops. Skipped right by it. You know how you know when you skip past Revelations?
Mm-hmm.
It's the index.
That's right. Our concordance was it too.
Yeah, something back there.
I'm sorry, you said Revelations what?
4:11.
4:11. And also it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
So he did this because he wanted to and because it gave him pleasure. He created because he wanted to. Many times you'll be talking to people about these things and they'll say, why did God do this or why did God do that? The answer is always the same. He did it because he wanted to. When you're God, you can do whatever you want. And it's always right, by the way. So before the creation, the triune God stood complete. And there was love and communication between the persons of the Trinity. So now we look at Colossians 1, 16 and 17. We're going to see here that God dwelt by himself. He was alone. This doesn't mean there wasn't three of them. It means the triune God stood alone. 16 and 17, Colossians 1, 16, 17.
It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
I'd like to hear it again.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay. You take Jesus out of the equation and the whole thing will fall apart.
Mm.
Psalm 33:9. He created out of nothing. Psalm 33:9.
Psalm 33:9.
For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast.
Read that one again.
For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast.
Just think of the power that's involved. He just opens up his mouth and speaks, and he has a universe, he has the universe, and he has the earth, the planets, the stars, all the people, the animals. He just created it all by saying it. Now, we're going to look at Genesis 1:1 because he created matter. So read Genesis 1:1.
I heard
you. You know that by heart, of course.
Yeah, sorry. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Now, the word create used here means to create out of nothing. God created matter out of nothing. He did not just shape pre-existent matter, but he brought it into being. He did not make only the world, but the heavens and the earth and everything there is. This is an amazing God. Nehemiah 9:6.
Are you telling me that the Big Bang Theory is not legit?
No, and by the way, you know, when George Gamow wrote the Big Bang Theory, he was asked, he talked about this ball of compressed gas, that blows up and creates the universe. And they ask him where the ball of gas came from, and he says it was a free creation idea. So in a way, he backed right up to God.
So yeah, he contradicted his himself then, or
yes, he did.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But they seem to do that a lot.
Well, most philosophers, most worldly philosophers do contradict themselves. Okay, now Nehemiah 9:6 speaks of the God's creation of the hosts. You might want to read that.
Nehemiah.
And it says, "Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee."
Okay, now the text shows that this refers to the angelic hosts. This and other passages teach that God not only created the material universe, but angels and souls of men, as well as he made them just as he created matter. They are not an extension of himself, nor a part of himself. He created them. Remember, pantheism has God as the creation, that God is part of his creation. And of course, in that case, that means he's trapped. He can't get away. What the Bible teaches, of course, is that God created from outside the universe.
So that's be like trapping yourself in your own video game or simulation, and then being like, "Uh-oh."
That Dr. Hovind or whatever his name was that broke it down about how you must start outside to build something. You can't start within what you're building. And therefore, God must have been outside of creation, of time, and of space.
Yeah, I think. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I want you guys to be first. I get the
last. Oh no, I was just saying. It's very interesting. Just that we kind of have that trait of wanting to create, you know, though, kind of like how God, I mean, obviously we can't do it on the level God can, but just like I was thinking about all these simulations and video games and computer programs and everything people make and all that stuff, you know, it's just interesting. And then they try to come up with their virtual reality, you know, to escape the reality that God created. Yeah. You know?
Everything is trying to get us to focus off of God.
Right.
Yeah.
All of those things are on a digital or a more metaphorical plane, whereas when we get into God's creation, nature, and things of that sort, and you look at the things that people build by hand, the chairs and the, you know, various furniture or garden beds, or, you know, the things that we use our hands to create are just beautiful, you know, especially when we take an interest in it and love what we're doing and love the feel of what we're doing. And, you know, it's not just keying in a bunch of ones and zeros or sequences of numbers to create an image, but it has form and texture, feeling, and warmth or coolness.
Besides, the hands themselves have got all that.
Right. And I mean, and it's just, you know, and that's, that to me speaks of God's creation in our ability to create. And yeah, it's nothing like what God had done, but it is using the materials that he provided to create something else that is useful to us or even pleasing to the eye, or, you know, there's many reasons why we create.
This goes back to that thing where, what is it? The devil or the enemy, whoever, they can imitate God, but they can never replicate what he did. Like, even with all these virtual reality things, they can't get the sensations that you have in real life, even in them. Not that I'm aware of. Not, you know, like our ability to touch and smell and feel, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they work towards that, but it's still false.
You cannot. Yeah. We cannot explain the universe from inside of it. You can't explain something from inside of it. But this house, you could tell everybody about this house, but if you've never been outside of it, You couldn't just explain the whole thing. God created from outside. He and of course, he took on the form of man and entered his creation. But the point is that that's the only source of absolute truth that we can get. We have to hear from outside the universe to get absolute truth. That's why the Bible is so important.
Yes.
It was came to us from outside the universe. And so then it's absolute truth. It's the one place. And by the way, it's the only thing in the, well, there's two things. There's only two things in the world that haven't been corrupted by sin. And one is the Bible. Does anybody want to take a guess on the second one?
Oh. Go ahead, Matt.
Now you go ahead. You're the one raising your hand.
I was going to say math.
Jesus.
Well, that, okay. But then there's a third one.
Oh.
But math is being corrupted now, so I guess that doesn't work because they're trying to tell you that 2 + 2 = 5. So, I mean.
Listen, the other thing is the woman is the egg inside the woman. Hmm. It hasn't been affected by sin.
Oh, right.
It becomes affected by sin before it comes a person.
Yeah.
Because the man's seed is the one that's infected. Sin entered the world by one man.
Mm-hmm.
And even if all these women's seed is corrupted, we know that Mary's seed were not.
Yes. Not at all. You're right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but most everything has been corrupted.
So we just need to figure out Immaculate Conception and.
Trust me, CERN's working on that.
I married my wife says, she said, "Who?" I said, "Who do you think the Immaculate Conception is?" She said, "Jesus." I said, "You haven't read Catholic Catechism, have you?" She said, "I don't know what you're talking about." So we're going through the missions down in California. Here's a bunch of books, and here's a Catholic Catechism. So I pull it out and I show her. The Immaculate Conception was Mary. Whoa. You mean Mary had no sin? Well, do we believe that?
No.
Mm-mm. Why don't we believe that?
Because there was only one sinless person in this world.
Well, because Mary herself said she needed a Savior.
Mm.
That's how we know it's Luke chapter 2. It's the Magnificat of Mary. She says, "God." She talks about God, my Savior. So we know she hadn't. But I don't need to look that up. I'm on the creation. Okay, Numbers, Genesis 1:1. We need Nehemiah. Genesis 1:31. Read for that.
Genesis 1:31.
After he created, he pronounced it good.
Yeah.
Read away.
And it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day."
Okay. Both matter and spirit were good as they were originally made. They were not only good in man's judgment, but in God's absolute judgment. If God made us, then we have a responsibility to obey. Okay. Now we turn. I listen. This is some more stuff I worked up years ago. God and man. Now, with this study, we begin considering what the Bible tells us of the relationship between God and man. So, if you'll read Genesis 2:7, we'll take a look.
Genesis 2:7. See if I can get there before Miss Kimmy.
I got there.
Oh.
And it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Oh, that's good. Read that again.
"And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
So here we're told that God formed the body of man out of the dust of the ground. That's obvious. However, man is more than a body. We have a living soul. Now we're ready for Genesis 1:26.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Okay, so man was made in God's image. This is our glory, and it's this which sets him off from other creatures.
I find it interesting here, you know, God tells us in our image.
Yes, that's the first indication that there is a triune God.
Right.
It doesn't tell us everything, but it tells us that there is a plurality. Mm-hmm. I have a whole sequence of verses that lead us to where we learn that he's a triune God. Do you want to go there, or shall we stay where we're at?
Let's see, where are we at on time?
We've got 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, let's stay on this track for a minute.
Sure.
It turned to Genesis 5. I think it's 5:3.
We'll check it out and we'll see if that's the one you're thinking of.
I think it is.
Oh, and it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called him the name Seth.
Now, when you're born, you're in Adam's image. You're not in God's image. That's something that was lost. You notice when you're born, you're in Adam's image. When do you become in God's image?
When you're born again.
When you're saved.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you're become a new creation. And at that time, you're restored to God's image. So man was originally created in God's image. Man sinned. He lost his and became an image of his own, Adam's image. And then we get saved and we get the image of God back. So not everyone in the world today not everybody in the world today is created in God's image. Only the Christians are created in God's image.
Once we're saved.
Yeah, once you're saved. See, you're a new creation. Created image of God.
You didn't notice how much different you looked after you got saved?
I noticed how much different I felt when after I got saved.
Yeah, that's important. Well, anyhow, let's look at how God looked at man before the fall. Genesis 1:31.
Genesis 1.
And it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
And both God is satisfied with his creation, and he's satisfied with man. The man was good. Look, here's what it means to be in God's image. It certainly means that we're moral. It means that we can make moral choices. It also means that we're rational. It means that we can think. It also means that we're creative. We find that men everywhere make works of art. It's also the reason why man loves. And interestingly enough, even though it was lost to those who are not of the faith, they still exhibit some residual qualities that are like God. And we don't, I personally don't quite understand that, but maybe somebody else does. But because we lost God's, because those people have lost God's image. But of course, Adam, let's just say for argument that they're in Adam's image. Adam still had these qualities of God and that these creative qualities, this ability to think. He still had those things. And so I would just say that it looks to me like he passed them on as well as passing on our fallen nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always felt, you know, I don't have anything to back it up, that people seem to tend to have a knowledge of what's right and wrong, whether they utilize it or not. True. And I think that's of God. And I think we're all God's creation.
Yeah. Romans chapter 1 talks quite a bit about that. Let's just take a look here.
Romans chapter 1.
You think Adam, before they sinned, they were sinless. So they were in God's image. And then obviously they sinned and then introduced sin to man, right?
Yes.
So then we're out. I know I'm just kind of rehashing what you were saying there. I'm just thinking it through out loud. But then when you get saved and accept Jesus Christ and that blood covering, the sacrifice, right? You believe in the gospel. That blood covering, that sealing of the Holy Spirit cast away your, covers your sin. So it's like you're sinless again. So then you're back in the image of God, what he originally intended. If that makes
sense. That's how I see it. Yeah, and I'm sure that's how the Bible teaches it. Now, the fall of man is really covered in Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 18. So we'll have our reader turn to Romans 1:18.
Romans 1:18.
Well, why don't you start with 17?
What was that again?
Oh, start with 17.
17, okay. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them.
Keep going till I holler.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And
I think that's the
stuff. Okay.
So what you see here is the fall of man, and you mentioned that there was that they had a conscience and had a knowledge of right and wrong. That's what this says. That agrees with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them.
I've always understood that we were born with a natural knowledge of God, but, you know, this is where the free will comes in, right?
Yes.
That free will to make that choice, whether to recognize that or take, like it said, to take on our own vanity.
Yeah, and then there's those who would subvert children from the womb too, who would show them no other than sin and death.
Well, children need to be trained in the ways of righteousness, and of course that doesn't always happen. Children are badly abused in many cases. By the way, women are badly abused. The women and children are weak. They need the man to protect them. But But the, I think it's what I think is really significant. What to me, what's really significant in these verses is that, first of all, it says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they deny the truth. Well, here's the truth, and they deny it.
Yeah, it's a choice.
And
the choice they read.
Yeah. And then they do because it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So in other words, they didn't put him in his rightful place, nor were thankful. Neither were they thankful. So there's gratitude involved here. And you were expressing that when you were thanking God for the beauty of his creation.
Mm-hmm. There's gratitude. Kind of do you remember, kind of reminds me of, was it Daniel talking to Belshazzar or somebody? He said, the balances have been weighed and you've been found wanting.
That was Belshazzar. That's fifth chapter of Daniel. And it's the story of Belshazzar was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was the emperor or the king of Babylon. And Daniel, of course, was a slave in Babylon. Anyhow, and they called in Daniel to interpret. But anyhow, this Belshazzar is having a great big party, and they're drinking out of the cups that they stole out of the temple in Jerusalem. And a hand comes out of the wall, just a hand, and it writes a message on the wall. And it says, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin." Got that? "Meeny, meeny, fecal, meeny, 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 tekel, upharsin." I love it. I love his story. Thanks for bringing this up.
Oh, here it is. Yeah.
Anyhow, they get Daniel in there to read it. And it reads, "You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting." And that very night in secular history, it is recorded that Darius the Mede conquered Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting how God had revealed to him how to do it. Babylon had these huge walls around it. It was considered impregnable. Walls were big. I think they could drive five chariots abreast on the top of the wall. But the Euphrates River ran, they had to have water inside their city. Euphrates River ran under the wall and out the other side. And Darius from the Mede sneaked in the middle of the night and dammed up the river. And his soldiers walked in virtually on dry land and conquered Babylon. And it was right in the middle of the night. So Darius was found Belshazzar was found in the balance and found wanting, and he died that very night. It's "meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin."
Yeah, it's Daniel 5:25, and that's what it says. Well, 24 says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written: "Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin." And this is the interpretation of the thing: "Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." And so then they commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with a scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So he was about 62.
But the reason it reminded me, though, just because of that saying that you've been found wanting, because he was seemed like a very sinful, unthankful ruler at that time, I guess. And When you just read the like Romans 1:21 there, it's like you see that the people that are the ones that reject God, they're not content, they're not they're wanting. They're wanting something else. You know, the truth is, I don't know. I guess it just don't satisfy them.
Well, we were the same way before we were saved.
Yeah.
We weren't satisfied. If you think about it for a minute, there was always an emptiness in your life. There was a hunger. It was never quite satisfied. You just couldn't, no matter what you did, you couldn't quite get enough of things. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This is the hard thing for women, people that have been born and raised in a Christian family. They've never, in a way, they've never quite experienced this. So they need, by the way, for those people who are born and raised in a Christian family, they have to have extra grace. They need a little more prayer. Because they can't look back and say, oh, I remember my life when I was a disaster.
You know, that's actually just an absolutely brilliant thing that you just brought up there. This is something that we don't think about. You know, we complain about the trials and tribulations and God toughing us up our whole lives. But there's people that have never experienced that. So when they end up facing this war that we're walking into, you know, those that have struggled are going to be able to handle it a little bit easier and have to be there for those that have never endured.
Yeah.
Right on. Right
and on. I was going to say sometimes too, when things, people that have gone through significant, like before they get saved, being brought really low and have gone really bad, it's easier to recognize you need a savior versus, I'm not everyone needs a savior, but I think some people are maybe less sinful, even before getting saved than others is what I was going to say.
Oh yeah.
Better.
But they all need a savior.
Yes. Yeah.
They're all lost. We're all born and identified in the sin side of the equation. Now, until they reach the age of accountability, there's a special salvation waiting for them. These little babies, these younger kids, they're not going to go to hell when they die, whether they've received Christ or not, because they're not accountable. Once they come under the conviction of sin, and here are the gospel, then they're accountable for their belief. And of course, they have many chances. They don't, God doesn't do it in just one chance. So you'll find that in Romans chapter 5. And we're saved by many trespasses of this salvation. It's never too late.
Well, let me ask you something, Jim, while we got you here. This is a question that I get asked a lot by people that aren't Christians necessarily, is we are fortunate enough at this time in life to be able to have like four or five Bibles in our house. And if we don't, we can go down to pretty much any store and purchase one. But what about people that have, let's just say the Jub-Jub tribe out in the South Pacific, not a real crew, but you know what I'm saying? Never come in contact with people, much less like scripture. How are they, would they be considered like the innocence of children?
No, but they will hear the gospel. Sometime before they die, they'll get a chance to believe. I think that's in Romans chapter 10.
Wasn't there something about sleepers?
Yeah, well, sleepers are, in the Bible, sleepers are always Christian dead. Well, this is kind of like the, boy, I just did this last night.
This 5:17 is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Keep going, you'll come to it.
Is it right before that, actually?
I think it's 18.
Oh, it is 18. Okay, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world.
Your answer to them is, I don't understand the supernatural quality of this, but I understand everyone will hear the gospel.
Yeah.
They may not have heard it yet, but they'll hear it before they die.
I mean, because, yeah, my answer ultimately is that, you know, God is with us. He's around us. He's in our hearts. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, if it came down to it and you couldn't actually hold the pages of a Bible in your hands, you know, Jesus would still be there. The Holy Spirit would be there kind of whispering.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. I think the truth is that in some supernatural way, first of all, we just read in the first chapter of Romans that they have an awareness of the Godhead. Remember it said they're aware of the Godhead. I think that if they're aware of the Godhead and respond to that, then they will get the gospel in some supernatural way.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can be out in nature, especially as, you know, like a far removed tribe out in the middle of nowhere, subject completely to nature, and not see God.
That's basically what that's saying.
Native Americans, for instance, you know, they have a profound relationship and with nature and
now I have a testimony from a missionary. I don't teach the truth of testimony, but it sometimes adds a little light for to think about. He was a missionary to a tribe in the Amazon basin, and when he joined this tribe, they were so moral that he was having trouble getting on board with a gospel message. Only a gospel message based on the fact that Christ died for your sins. People were moral, and he had trouble convict them of sin. Anyhow, this is the story, and this is he told it for the truth. He's out in the jungle, and he hears this guy hollering, and he goes to find out what he's doing. Here's one of them out there digging a hole in the ground, hollering into the hole. And he's learned to speak their language, and he asks him what he's doing. He says, "I'm looking for God." He said, "We had God once, under long time ago, but he left us. We haven't been able to find him since."
Hmm.
And so this missionary said, "Well, here, I know how you can find him. Told him about Jesus Christ. They all became Christians, turned into a mass conversion." Well, look, when this guy hollered for God, who came, who was there? A missionary with the gospel.
That's an amazing story. That's awesome.
But what it says there in Romans 10 is that they all hear. So that's I get that same question a lot. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I still answer it the same way, and some are satisfied with the answer, some aren't. But I just say to them, look, Romans 10:18 says they all hear.
Yeah. You know, and who is it? I see miracles every day, things that I literally are like, okay, only God could have done that. So wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, this doesn't limit his ability to do anything whatsoever, is to get the word across the universe.
Yeah. And by the way, it's interesting. In the Bible, though, angels don't take the gospel. Only people do.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there's a story in Acts about this guy named Cornelius. He was the head of the Italian band, and that was not an orchestra. It was 100 soldiers. And he was in charge of the Italian band. And he was, it says he was a very neat guy, and he was nice to the Jews, and he was always looking for God.
Yeah.
And so an angel comes to him and says, and doesn't give him the gospel. The angel says, "Get Peter, lives up the street, get Peter and he'll give you the words of life." So they go and get Peter, and he gives them the way, he gives them the gospel. So the point is that the angel could have told him, but he didn't.
Right. Well, and the angels pre-existed Christ.
Yeah, so. Well, besides that, if I heard it from an angel, I wouldn't be able to believe it. Because I'd be so overwhelmed that I'd, you know, it had to come to me by another, from another man.
Yeah. And that's in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Yeah, the story.
Thank you. I don't know what reference she's got, but she's quick.
Yeah. No, she is quick. I had to find another page so I could show people what we're talking about, but I'm a terrible speller as it is. And biblical names, I mean, like Belshazzar. I mean, come on. So I had to find one that could keep up with me.
I think it's Belshazzar. Listen, don't try to spell those old Persian names. Wow.
So you're saying when we try, when we go through and we write the Bible, just skip the begats?
Oh, no. Here's why. I'm going to tell you why. First of all, they probably weren't in there for your benefit. They're probably in there for some of those old timers' benefits. But every so often, you'll see a familiar name. And as you, and since you write them, the next time you run across that name, you'll say, oh, I remember him. And of course, in Matthew and Luke, there are two kind of a begat thing, which is the genealogy of Christ. Mm. And it's helpful to know some of the names you see in there.
Right. Well, I mean, I see the importance of genealogy. I myself am no genealogy.
Well,
and
interestingly enough,
I don't particularly care.
Yeah.
Here's something to think about. Jewish people have no genealogy. It was destroyed by the Romans in the 70 AD.
Hmm.
See, because all those records were in the temple, and the temple was destroyed. So today, a Roman, a Jew, has no genealogy. And I've asked, I used to have a pretty good ministry in the Jews down in Portland. And I've asked many Jews, well, how do you know you're a Jew? And the answer is, I just know.
Yep.
I just know I'm a Jew. I think, you know, the, what's that story? The Russian czar said to his holy man, how do you know there's a God? He says, I can answer you in one word. And he says, what's the word? And he said, the word is Jew. He says, what other ancient tribe from 3,500 years ago is still around?
Yeah.
And that's why you're, by the way, in this current discussion, with over Israel, and you run, there are a lot of anti-Semites, ask them if they believe in indigent people's rights. There's no more indigent people in the world than the Jew. He can trace his lineage all the way back. Well, now it's 5,500 years. He's an indigenous, I can't say it.
Indigenous.
Thank you, child.
There we go.
Anyhow,
the teacher in me has to correct.
Anyhow, things, you guys do realize that Iran was named by Hitler.
I'm sorry.
You realize Iran was named by Hitler.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Persia until he changed the name.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You would have thought that maybe France had named Iran.
No, it was Hitler. People say there was some kind of a deal in World War II that they made with Hitler, and he asked them to change the name. Remember, he was trying to show that there was the race that the German race,
the Aryan, the Aryans, the Aryan race.
Iran and Aryan are from the same root.
Yeah.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left, and I know you want to pray out.
Yeah. Rochambeau, for who prays us out. I'm out because I prayed us in. So
why don't you have Duncan?
Duncan and Matt. No,
Matt can pray out.
Duncan's the guy. But although it could be fun to be on Rochambeau for it.
All right, man.
I don't know.
Come on, Matt. Get your hand up there.
I'm just kidding. I'll happily do it. Unless you're dying to pray, I always am. So,
okay. Right. You go ahead, brother.
All right. Everyone, please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another day, another gathering of your family members, dear Lord. And like I said, we come into some of these not knowing what we're going to talk about, and you just help us freestyle and ask the questions that we have been wanting to ask, learn new things, dear Lord, all in your heavenly name. And there's no greater conversation that we can have than one of you. So, dear Lord, thank you for loving us enough to get us to where we are today and continue working in our lives, dear Lord, as we need you more and more. The closer we get to you, the more we need you, dear Lord. We become targets in many cases by the evil in this world, dear Lord, but it's not going to stop us because you ask us to fear not, and I know you will take away all of our fear, anxiety, stress, or anything else that we have during these times. But, dear Lord, I also ask that you give us great patience. Patience is one thing that many of us lack, dear Lord. Some of us are ready to pull swords and throw rocks. And it's not that time, Father. It's about prayer and information. So please armor us up, not with what we want, dear Lord, but what we need, what you need us to do right here. Dear Lord, please give us discernment and wisdom so that we can see through the deception, which happens more and more every day. They don't even hide it, dear Lord, but they have gotten some pretty good tactics, and things are hard to tell what's up from down any longer. And you told us these days would come, dear Lord. So let us continue to focus on the discernment and the wisdom that you give us, dear Lord, and never try to do anything with knowledge unless we have the wisdom in order to use it in a proper way, one that benefits mankind, one that benefits you, dear Lord, and not in the devil's will. But dear Lord, I ask that you keep evil and temptation out of our lives during these times. Some days are harder than others, dear Lord, but you're always just a prayer away, and you always answer those prayers. So I thank you for answering the prayers we're praying now, answering the prayers that you have, and the ones that we're going to come, dear Lord, because you always answer. May not be what we're asking for, dear Lord, but it's what you know we need. So let us just always trust in you, Father, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter what trials and tribulations come into our lives. Let us not forget that when a door closes, you always open another door, especially for those that are serving you in the greatest of ways. And Father, I know that you're taking many of us out of the rat race right here of the earth so that you can pull us into serving you and walking your walk, dear Lord. So continue to speak to us as you always do, dear Lord, but let us learn how to listen a little bit better every single day. Thank you for the family that you brought together, dear Lord, and all the prayers that you've answered, the people that are healing in just remarkable ways, dear Lord, that are getting over heartaches and pains and that are enduring the tribulations that they're going through. Those that give them strength and the courage, dear Lord. And thank you finally for dying for us on that cross, listening to us as we repent for our sins and strengthening our armor as we're going to need it more and more as we walk into this battle. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I love. Don't threaten me with a good prayer.
Well, hey. The only reason your prayer is any good is because of the guy who's listening.
Amen.
Hey,
he's God glory. He's a person, but he's real.
I always say him person, the greatest person ever to exist. But we know we can't explain him. He's God. If we could, our heads would explode.
That's right.
The great I am.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But he answers prayer and he listens.
Yes.
And he blesses.
And the Holy Spirit interprets for you. So, gosh, you got it all going for you.
We do, you know, and
we're back to the first chapter of Ephesians. You got it all, man.
Right?
Yes.
And what's cool is, you know, he takes scary situations. Those are tests, you know, and when you have faith and trust, they're easy tests to pass. And it doesn't matter if it gets more difficult or not, because he gives you the peace in your heart and the joy to just continue on. So, faith, yes. Trust, joy.
Well, guys, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be with you on Monday.
Right.
Well, I'll be with you in the spirit, but yes. I'm this class I'm taking is also on Monday night.
So we will be doing a review. So think about your favorite verses from Ephesians and what spoke to you.
Yeah, bring some questions. Matter of fact, this would be an opportunity, you know, just for you guys just to, we'll get involved as much as we can with the chat on Monday. And we'll keep on going. Like I said, just kind of continuing the conversation of Ephesians. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. So we'll just have some fun with what we've learned in Ephesians while Jim's not with us.
Anyhow, I might learn some things that will be useful.
Yeah, exactly. And the show must go on. It's not going to be the same without you, Jim. I'm not going to lie, but we're always privileged to have you when you're here.
I always keep my commitments on the basis of priority.
Yes.
And this is a commitment I made clear back the first of the year. So I'm going to keep it.
It was before we had.
Yep. And you guys will do fine.
Yeah.
God is with you.
Oh, amen.
By the way, those are the four greatest words in the Bible, for God is with you.
Exactly. He'll be sitting right there in your seat. You may not be able to see him, but I promise you he's there.
Well,
I do love you very much, and you have been a real blessing in my life. And I want to thank you for showing up.
Yeah.
Hey, when you come back, it could be a serious mess you got to clean up and sort out.
I know. He's like, man,
you're leaving the children unattended.
I have Kitty to take care of.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Might have to get Tam Tam in here to whoop some butt.
Yep.
I think get Jeff in here.
Yep. Get Jeff in here. I know I was going to talk to him. We'll see. Hopefully, if he's feeling up to it, man, he can come. Virtually sit in your seat.
But we can get Larry. He's all baby man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to get him in here Monday too. So.
No, but let's just let God do it.
Amen.
But tonight he was out in the garden with our daughter fixing the irrigation system, and so good for him. We needed to get that done because it hasn't had enough water.
Mm. Yeah, by all means, you got to take care of those things around the home.
Yeah.
And I just want to, you know, I'm praying by proxy, but I just want to lift up some brothers and sisters, and I'm just going to name them. Steve, Jeff, Punky, Deborah, Hev, Pete, and everyone I forgot. We love you. Our prayers are up for you. And be well. God is with you.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And everyone, like I said, it's been another great show. Like I said, I always love these little freestyles. So God bless you all. Everyone out here in chat, we love you with all of our hearts, and we're so thankful for everything that you do. You guys, it wouldn't be the same without you. Best family ever. And we are just absolutely thankful. So if you need anything, prayers answered, prayers prayed, reach out to any one of us. We'll certainly stop what we're doing to pray. And I know you guys are really good about doing that in return. But we love you all very, very much. And just on that show, I'm just going to say it. There is no reason to fear because God wins. Everything is in God's control. So there's no reason to fear, stress, have any anxiety whatsoever. Right now, keep the swords in the sheaths and pull the prayers out of the artillery, because that's kind of what we need more than ever. But we will be back Monday, 9 o'clock, right?
Perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. And yes, the heart of Jesus. Show the heart of Jesus.
Amen. And guys, we love you much. Have an absolutely beautiful rest of your weekend. And we leave you with the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red